to worship God. We're certainly thankful that each of you is here. We have visitors scattered throughout the audience. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll linger a moment after the services and that we will all talk with one another and greet one another. What a wonderful opportunity to worship God. Last Sunday, we talked about quality growth and quantity growth. And in that quantity growth, we talked about how when we're talking about numbers of people, we're talking about souls. And like the early church, we want to grow and bring more people to Jesus Christ. This morning, we talked about finances, in a sense, giving from the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, and talked about how that as we give more, we're able to do more locally and throughout the world, and tried to emphasize that it's important for us to have the right relationship with Christ, and out of that, our giving will take care of itself. And tonight, we're talking about what may be the number one goal of the church, or the number one work of the church in growth, and that is evangelism. But I've just got to tell you something that's already happened since this morning. After we talked about this morning and looking forward to next week, and I suggested that we try to have a $20,000 contribution next week to go on our renovation and our building improvement, I had a member give me a check for $1,000 and a visitor give me a check for $5, not $5,000. So with those two, we are over 1/20th of the way there. And if any of you visitors that are here tonight won't be here next Sunday, I'd like to meet you after services tonight. It just shows that we're thinking. One gave me the big check, said my wife and I got to talking after this morning, and we want to just go ahead and write a check for next week. Folks, we're going to do it. We, all of us, are going to do it. But tonight, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're in a series of lessons for the benefit of those of you who are visiting on the subject of growth. We talked about growth in general last week. Last Sunday night, we talked about growth in the love that a spouse has, or a husband has for his spouse, or a wife has for her spouse. This morning, we talked about growth in the sense of abounding in this grace also. And tonight, I want to emphasize one statement in verse 6 and one statement in verse 9. And then just look at the context for a few minutes. Verse 6 says, God gave the increase. God gave the increase. And it is important, very important, for us to understand who gives the increase. And also how important it is that there be increase in the Lord's kingdom. And then verse 9 that makes the statement, we are laborers together with God. We are a team. We're working with God in this matter. We are laborers together with God. Which says, if you'll stop and think about it for a moment, that there is something that God does and there is something that we are to do. If we are laborers together, that means God is involved in the labor. And it means that we are involved in the labor. And I guess if we don't understand anything else other than those two statements, that it'll be worthwhile for our being here. This morning, after I'd been preaching for about 5 minutes, I made a point, and I said, we could stop right here, and the lesson would be sufficient. And I don't know how many after services said, why didn't you? Well, I didn't intend to this morning, and I really hadn't intended to tonight. But if we can understand those two points, that God is in charge of the increase, and that we are laborers together with God, I think we will have learned something tonight. Folks, growth in numbers is not by accident. Now, there are times that congregations swell. What happens when a congregation swells is that members come in from other congregations around. Sometimes when there are problems, maybe in another congregation, people will leave there and come to a congregation. And I have known of situations, and you have too probably, where a church doubled in its size in a short period of time simply by members moving in. Now, we have a lot of members who move in. And we are so thankful for those of you that move in. Today, this morning and tonight, we have had and have some of you who will be new faculty members and new staff members at Freed-Hardeman. And we are so grateful that you're moving in. We're grateful for two reasons, for you personally and the fact that we've got some moving out. And so we're glad that you're moving in. And we're always grateful for those who become identified with the church. And we encourage you to become identified. Let our elders know that you're here and become actively involved in the local work. But that's not really the evangelism that's being talked about in 1 Corinthians 3. God's not talking about our swelling. He's talking about our winning souls for Christ and bringing people to Jesus Christ. And that's the growth that we need in evangelism. Now, first in this passage, I want us to notice what God does. Number one, the work of God is to determine the material that will be used in building, or the material that will be used in sowing, in order to bring people to Christ and to bring the increase. If you and I decided on our own, and there is a tendency in some circles for people to do that, I suppose there would be a tendency for all of us to do that if we did not stop and think about what God has said. If we decide on our own what we're going to teach and gimmicks that we're going to use and how we're going to contact people, I suppose that we could come up with an approach that might bring more people into a specific group. In fact, I'm hearing in some areas today people saying, we just cannot use what we've been using. We've got to come up with something modern. We've got to come up with something in order to build the church. If we don't, it's not going to grow. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Bible teaches that God is the one who determines the building material. And He is the one who is to determine the seed that is to be sown. You just see this throughout the entirety of this passage, particularly in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. I believe he's saying there, and especially as you read all of this chapter together, that we have got to build on Jesus Christ. We've got to have the right kind of foundation, and God is the one who determines what seed is sown and what blocks are to be put out for building material. That's God's work. You and I don't need to try to determine that for ourselves. We need to just try to determine what God has bound and what He has loosed, Matthew 16 and verse 19. Number two, and if there's anybody who needs to understand this point about what God does, it's those of us who preach. God is the one who gives the increase. Even the great apostle Paul, man who served God in many capacities and probably was able to preach God's word with power that would be beyond what you and I can imagine, even he said of himself, and Apollos, who was described in other places as being a very eloquent speaker, he said, we're not the ones who give the increase. God is the one who gives the increase. It took me a long time to understand that. I think I've come to understand it as a preacher of the gospel. God is not going to judge me by the number of responses that take place at the end of a sermon or in a gospel meeting. Now, if I'm not bringing people to Jesus Christ, I probably need to back up and look at myself and see if I can do a more effective job. But God did not give you and me the responsibility of the increase. He said, Paul says, God will do the one, or He'll be the one that takes care of the increase. God will give the increase. That's His work. You and I need to develop enough faith in God's word and work to be able to teach it and present it in such a way that we can do what's just before that in that verse, and we'll come back to this, the planting and the watering, and God will take care of the increase. And number three, God is in charge of the records. I don't want to be misunderstood on this. Those of you who know me very much know that I'm a stickler for records. And I think we need to know what's happening and know what has happened. I believe we need a church directory. I believe our elders need to know who's under their oversight in this local congregation. But God did not leave with me as a gospel minister, or even with our elders, the responsibility to be in charge of the real record that matters. Look on over there about verses 14 and 15. And he points out that God is the one who's keeping the record. Your work, those that you bring to Christ, may stay faithful, they may not. But God knows what has happened. He knows who is doing what. He knows what you have done. And if I understand that passage, he's saying, if you wind up and you do not have a single convert who remains faithful, that you can still be saved. Because God is the one who keeps the record. He is the one who knows. And as important as it is to have a working record in a local congregation, and I think that's just apparent, we need to understand that God is the one who adds, Acts 2:47, and the one who deletes, Revelation 3 and verse 5. So in this work of evangelism, God determines the material that's to be used. He is the one who will give the increase, and he is the one who keeps the final record. Well, what about man's work? If we are laborers together with God, that just says, without contradiction, that there's something we are to do. That little word do is the same as W-O-R-K. There's some effort involved. Well, let's look at the text. Verse 2. Look at the word fed. He says here, I fed you with milk, not with meat. Now, the writer of Hebrews said there was time when you ought to be able to take the meat by reason of time and by reason of use, two reasons there. And he said, you're not. I've got to go back and teach you the very first principles of the oracles of God. You have need of milk instead of meat. You put these passages together and you see the milk and the meat. But what I want you to see at this point is that our work is to feed. Our work is to feed. The elders are specifically charged with the responsibility to feed the flock. Acts 20, verse 28. Parents are given the direct responsibility to feed their children, and I'm not talking about what's on the table, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And our parents may hold the key to really helping us to teach the younger generation to have the right kind of respect and the right kind of faith. I don't believe it'll be accomplished unless our parents are on the team. But there is to be some feeding that's involved in evangelism. Look at verse 6. I planted. You know the story of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And if you read that and think about it, there are all kinds of grounds out there. Just one seed, one sower in this case. And as he went out, some seed fell in all these places that did not bring results, brought some that didn't last, but some of it fell in good ground. And God's the one who gave the increase in that case, or did not give the increase if it did not fall in the right place. And even there with the sower, you see this idea, what God wants man to do is to get out there and sow the seed. Some of it won't come up, but some of it will. Some of it may be choked out by weeds, but some of it won't. Some of it's going to bring forth the different folds, you remember in that story. So man's work in evangelism is to plant, number three. His work is to water. That comes after the initial planting. And while we're talking about that, I want you to look on down at verse 9. And in the King James Version, he uses the word husbandry. We are his husbandry. And the definition of that word that's given as the word in the original is broken down is that one who is a husbandman or in the husbandry of God is a tiller of the soil and a keeper of the vineyard. Or a tremor of the vineyard. And what he's saying here, that in evangelism, we don't just go out and plant the seed and stop, but we have the responsibility to water, we have the responsibility to cultivate, and we have the responsibility to try to help trim off those things that are not good. All of this is involved in man's work in evangelism. We are to feed, we are to plant, we are to water, we are to be his husbandry. And then notice in verses 10 and 12, we are to be his builders. He uses another image here. In addition to the planting and watering, he says we are in the process of building. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. You remember 1 Peter 2 verse 5? We are the house of God. Hebrews 3 describes how we're the house that belongs to Christ. We're called the house in other places. Pillar and ground of the truth, the house of God, as Paul was talking to Timothy. And he says, now our work is to be builders. Paul talks about himself as a builder among others who were builders. And then in verse 9, we have the word labor, and in verses 14 and 15, it's called work, or works, if your works abide or your works do not abide. Now, I want you to look at the words that are here that emphasize what you and I are to do. I fed, I planted, I watered, husbandry, I cultivated, trimmed, built, labored, worked. And wouldn't you agree with me, if you and I do what we ought to do with all of that, we won't have time to be too concerned about the increase? And that we can leave that side of it to God and let Him take care of the increase? And it may very well be, folks, that God will have an easier time with the increase if you and I do more feeding and planting and watering and cultivating and building. We're laborers together with God. There's something else that's interesting to me in this passage, and that is that there may be some specific needs at specific times in the work that we do to go out to try to bring people to Jesus Christ. The idea in verse 2, I fed you with milk, in light of another passage that we've already noticed, suggests there may be a need sometimes to feed milk. But there's also a need sometimes to feed meat. And even in our local situation, we may have some who need milk. Some who are adults who need some milk. But we need to work for all of us to grow to where we can digest the meat of the gospel. And those of us who teach and preach need to be ready to feed the milk, but we also need to be ready to feed the meat when it can be understood and when it can be digested. There's also something interesting here when he talks about I planted and Apollos watered. This suggests that there are two processes involved here, done in this case by two different people who resulted in the increase are bringing someone to Christ. There may be times that you can plant the seed in the heart of a person, but you need somebody else to help you water that seed in that person's heart. There may even be some times that each one of us can plant and the same person can go back and water and keep cultivating to try to bring that to where there is fruit produced. But there is some planting and then there is some watering. I don't believe that God has in His farming process the no-till farming, where you just throw the seed out and let it grow where it will and you don't ever have to till it. You know, we have the no-till farming now in our farming. God doesn't have any no-till farming. He has the planting and then He has the watering and the cultivating to let that seed grow like it ought to. You and I not only need to be involved in reaching out to people where we plant the seed maybe the first time, but we need to especially be involved in the watering. When one of our young people becomes a Christian, there needs to be a lot of watering. There needs to be a lot of cultivating. There needs to be a lot of teaching. And that won't happen accidentally. And we never outgrow that. And then in the third place, as he gets to the idea of building, he also points out this idea that there may be one who can do something and another who can do something else. He said, first of all, we've got to have the right foundation of Christ. But then he said, I personally laid a foundation in some ways and another builds on it. There are people who, some of them are even dead tonight, who've laid foundations in this community and you and I are building on it. And maybe the blocks that we're putting into God's building or helping to bring into God's building today may be such that somebody else will go back and build on it. I've had the experience more than once, and perhaps you have too, of talking with someone, trying to get them to become a Christian and couldn't do it. And somebody else would go a few days later and talk to them, they'd obey the gospel. I don't believe that that's anything negative on the part of anybody. I think that's exactly what God is talking about here. We need some to plant. Maybe somebody else can water. We need some to lay this block and somebody else can build on it. That's evangelism. That's what's involved in evangelism. These specific needs, milk, meat, plant, water, foundation, build on it. You and I each can fit somewhere into that plan of being involved in evangelism. And he says, if we do this, there is a reward. Here again, that ought not to be our immediate goal. That ought not to be what we think about, but he does say that there is. He says our reward is not necessarily in the number of increase. Oh, I like to come back from a gospel meeting and tell you we've had 20 baptisms and so forth. Been a few times I could do that, not as many now as there used to be. I like to be able to report in the bulletin that this month we've had so many baptized into Jesus Christ. Certainly I enjoy mentioning that. I'll continue to enjoy it. But our reward really doesn't come from the number of increase. And it doesn't come necessarily from how many of those we bring to Christ remain faithful. Now there is a reward there. Earlier this year, I went to preach in a gospel meeting. The local preacher is a young man that I got started in driving a potato chip truck back a few years ago and then got him off that potato chip truck and got him to start preaching. He is a highly successful preacher today. Fine gospel preacher. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that makes me feel good. When I look back at those that I may have played a little part in bringing them to Christ, certainly I feel good about it, but that's not where I get my reward. Because God said if you lose every one that you bring to Jesus Christ, you can still be saved. You can still have your reward. Where does the reward come? It comes in knowing that we are God's laborers. We are laborers together with God. In knowing that we are planting and we are watering and we are building. And somehow or other, it may even be after we're gone. There's going to be the increase there. I was talking to a young couple here a few minutes ago who are now bringing their niece with them to church on Sunday mornings. And I just took time before the service to say, you need to realize what an important thing this is. And I related to them something I think I told you from the pulpit not long ago about a young couple that got married. They weren't going to church anywhere. The young man said, we need to start going to church. Do you have any idea where we should go? And the young lady said, I remember one time I was in foster care for 4 weeks. And my parents took me to the Church of Christ. They looked up the Church of Christ, and they were taught, and they became Christians and had a Christian home. And I'm pretty sure that those foster parents may have thought at that particular time, we've only had this young lady for 4 weeks. She'll never remember that we took her to church. It'll never amount to anything. The fact that they took her for 4 weeks planted a seed in her mind that germinated years later. We never know what we are going to accomplish. That's why I said a few minutes ago, we need to leave the increase to God. We need to plant, if it's one seed, if it's 100, if we build with one block or 1,000, whatever opportunity we have, we need to be involved in doing our part. And when we know we have taught the truth, that's one way that we have a reward. And I think that's mentioned particularly in verse 9, when he mentions the idea of a reward, or really verse 8, in connection with our being laborers together with God. And then we have that additional award if our work abides. Can you just imagine what a wonderful thing it'll be at the day of judgment when we get into heaven to look around and see those folks that we've known, and maybe to see those folks that we've baptized or we taught and we brought to Jesus Christ? Oh, that'll be a reward, all right. But look at the basic reward that's in verse 15. He said, even if you lose everybody that you taught, you can still be saved. Our greatest reward in this evangelism, above everything else, is that if we work on God's team and we plant and we water and we cultivate and we build, no matter what the results seem to be, you and I can be saved eternally. And it may very well be. If we're not involved in evangelism, we may not be saved eternally. That's how important it is. Growth in evangelism. Two statements I want you to remember. God gives the increase. He'll take care of his part if we'll just do what he's told us to do. And number two, we are laborers together with God. What a teammate. Let him do his work, and let's get busy doing ours. I challenge you tonight to think of somebody where you can plant a seed. I challenge you young folks to think of somebody that might be sitting in one of these empty spaces here by you. All of us adults, to think of somebody who's not here tonight, maybe who's had the seed planted but needs a little watering, a little encouragement. And I challenge us all to be involved in the growth of evangelism. Let God do the increasing, but let's be laborers together with Him. Perhaps we've planted a seed tonight that causes you to think about being a Christian. The seed is the Word of God, and that Word of God encourages you to believe it, repent of your sins, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism. Or maybe a seed has been planted that helps you to realize you need a little watering, and maybe you need to get back with your roots where they ought to be in order to receive that watering by being restored to your first love. Either is your need. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?